I'm glad I'm saved. You know, Paul wrote to young minister Timothy and said, this is a true and faithful saying worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ, He came to save sinners. And, you know, I interact with a lot of people that think they're okay. I've come across a lot of people that just hope they're okay, that when they come to die, that everything will be okay. They don't know that they can experience the saving of their soul now. It's like the Hebrew writer said, we're not like those that draw back into perdition, but we believe unto the saving of the soul. And I've experienced that saving grace. The Apostle Paul put it this way, that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Amen. This thing is real. And there's a lot of people that have a intellectual kind of salvation. They have a carnal or a mental salvation, but they don't have a work of the heart. And salvation is of the heart. I mean, man must believe with all of his heart. That 111th Psalm that I quoted earlier, you know, about praising the Lord, the psalmist said, I want to praise the Lord with my whole heart, all of my being. And really, you can't love the Lord thy God with all thy soul and with all thy mind, with all of thy strength and with all of your heart until you get saved.
Amen.
Just can't do it. There's a part of you that's corrupted by sin. We call that the depraved nature of man. The Adamic sin, the sin from Adam. The Bible says in the third chapter of Romans, verse 21 through 22, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says we're all like sheep, have gone astray. The Bible says that there's none good, no, not one. Every person must be saved. If you ever go to heaven, you'll have to be saved. Jesus made it very simple when he was talking to Nicodemus in the third chapter of John. He said, you must be born again. Now, I don't apologize for the number of times that I've stood in this pulpit and repeatedly talked about the new birth, because I'm afraid we have a large portion of our society that calls themselves Christian that have never experienced the new birth. And Jesus said, you must be born again before you can ever see the kingdom of heaven. You'll never go to heaven unless you get saved. You must experience the new birth. Now, there's a lot of people that go through a lot of systematic religious processes. There's a lot of ritualistic processes where people go through different rituals, and at the end of that, some preacher has told them that they'll be okay, that they'll be saved if they follow this system, if they follow this ritual, if they go into the waters of baptism, or they eat the Lord's Supper, or if they join the church, or if they live a good life, or if they tithe, or if they are faithful to church, they'll be okay. Listen, the only thing that will secure you in the arms of God is the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
We are washed, and we are saved, and we are cleansed. We are made whole by the blood of Christ, and the blood of Christ alone. Only the blood of Jesus can save you. Your works, we're not saved of any works of righteousness, Titus chapter 3. We're not saved of any works of righteousness that we have done. How are we saved? Paul wrote Titus and said, we're saved by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. I stood on my doorstep this past week, told two older men, I asked them, I said, do you know what regeneration is? And they're like, no. What is it? I said, it's when God's Holy Spirit comes in direct contact with your spirit.
Amen.
People, that's the only way you can know you're a child of God.
Amen.
We know that we have passed from death into life because we love the brethren. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. We know that we are the children of God because He has given us His Spirit. We know these things because there's been an event in our lives where God comes into our hearts. Listen, if you're here today and you've never experienced salvation, if you've never been born again, you've not yet come to Jesus, you've not yet repented of your sins, you've not yet believed in the Lord Jesus Christ for the saving of your soul, the Bible's real clear that you need to call on the Lord till you get saved. I preached a sermon a few Sundays ago about whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That word shall, I argued with one of the local ministers here that is in the future tense. He said, no, it's not. I said, yes, it is. Shall is in the future tense. In other words, the Bible tells us that you call on the Lord until you get saved. You seek the Lord till you find Him. You knock on the door till He opens it. Listen, you call and you seek after salvation until He, and you keep doing that until He delivers you. Listen, you have to experience the deliverance of sin. You have to experience the new birth. You have to be born again or born from above. That's what that means. Something comes into your life that came from God. Right? I mean, His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. A lot of people call this the old-time way. It's not just the old-time way. It's the only way. It's always been the only way. God does the work. Jonah realized that a long time ago. Salvation is of the Lord. Listen, I wish I could save this world, but I can't. I wish I could save some of you, but I can't. You've got to go to the same source that I went to. You have to go and get your oil from the Lord. Your lamp has to be full of the Holy Spirit, and you can't get that from me. You can't get that from the church. You can't get that from your mom and dad or your friends and your family. You have to get the Holy Ghost from the Lord. And listen, the Holy Ghost will not come into your heart and life until it's made clean. Yeah, I'm glad I'm clean today. Been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Yeah, the 144,000. They washed their robes and they made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And praise God, my soul has been made clean. I remember when I was lost. You remember when you were lost? I came before the Lord like those old lepers we read about in the Old Testament. Unclean! Unclean! I was contaminated by sin. I was the offscores of creation. I was like Job when he talked about being dust before the Lord. But praise God, when I called upon His name, when I got to the cross, listen, when I looked on Him whom I had pierced, when I believed in Him to the saving of my soul, that burden was lifted. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I mean, that condemnation and that sin, it was lifted from my life and I was made whiter than snow. Isaiah said, though your sins be as scarlet, they can be made white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they can be made as wool. Praise God for the cleansing that comes through Calvary. That's why we preach the cross. Yes, to the world is foolishness. Listen, you can go somewhere else. They'll preach and teach you about 5 points of prosperity. They'll tell you about how to have this kind of life and that kind of life and how to get your emotional mojo going. Listen, I tell you what people need. They need the preaching of the cross. To the world is foolishness, but to us that are saved, it is the power of God unto salvation. I'm not ashamed of the cross. Are you? Oh, no. No, I'm not ashamed of the cross because it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, from the Jew first and also the Greek. I'm glad I heard about the cross. I'm glad I went to the cross. I didn't get my salvation through church membership. I didn't get my salvation from water baptism. I didn't get my salvation from the Lord's Supper. I didn't get my salvation from some works that I'd done. I got my salvation from Jesus. Amen. Jesus. Jesus. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. It's through Jesus. Amen. I'm glad I know the Lord today. I don't know. I know some of you have come to this altar from time to time and you've sought the Lord. Don't get discouraged. You keep seeking Him till you find Him. Amen. Yes.
Seek him while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his ways and the unrighteous man his thoughts. If you'll turn to the Lord, he will provide salvation. He will pardon you. He will give you eternal life. Praise God. If you'll go to the cross and go to the source of life, there will be a... When you get saved, listen to me. When you get saved, there'll be a new life that'll come into you that wasn't there before. People ask us sometimes that are Christians, they say, we're not sure how you live that kind of life, how you develop those convictions, how you develop those ideas. I'll tell you how we develop them. We listen to the Lord. We follow His holy word. There's been a new life in us that alters us, that changes us. Listen, if you've never been changed by the power of God, you have not been beneath the crimson flow. I mean, the Bible says that same God that commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts. Amen? Colossians chapter 2 or chapter 3. Chapter 2? Yeah, Colossians chapter 2. Listen, God in the beginning who said, let there be light. That was a phenomenal event, wasn't it? I mean, to call light out of darkness. Well, listen, there's a phenomenal event that happens deep down in our soul. God touches us in a place where nobody else can touch us. God reveals Himself to us deep inside of our souls. Listen, the Bible says those of us who have been saved, the light of the glorious gospel has shined in our hearts in the face of Jesus. Amen. If our gospel be hid, it's hid to those that are lost, whom the God of this world has blinded their minds, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine in their hearts. Amen. Y'all know about that? A light coming, a light shining deep. The light of the glorious gospel, the light of Jesus. Jesus is the light of the world. And He's the light that shines in our hearts. Salvation is real. I'm not sure how long Kenny's been coming to this church. I'd say about 12, maybe even 15 years. But found the Lord this past week. Praise God! Amen. Glory be to God! Amen. Tell you what, we can't do it! Amen. We need God! We need the Holy Ghost! Jesus taught that church in its infancy. He taught that church there when the Holy Ghost came down on the day of Pentecost. We need the power of God. We need the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost still is with His church, accompanying the gospel. Listen, the Holy Ghost is still with His church, convicting the lost. He said, I'll send the Comforter. Jesus gave us the promise, did He? I'll send the Comforter. It'll reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment to come. Listen, the Lord's coming back, and He's coming back with power and great glory. The Bible says, after the tribulation of these things, what did He say in the 24th chapter of Matthew? The Lord, the stars will fall from heaven. I believe that. I believe that the sky is going to roll back like a scroll. I believe that. I believe the sun's going to refuse to shine. I believe that. I believe the moon is going to turn to blood. I believe that. I believe there are people going to run for the rocks and the mountains and cry unto them and say, hide us! Hide us! Hide us from His face, from the face of the Lamb. And the Bible says that the Lord shall appear in great glory. I tell you, His glory is going to fill this earth. Amen. Yes. The Lord's coming back. And He's coming back with power and great glory. And He's going to send His mighty angels. And He's going to go to the four corners of the earth. And He's going to gather the elect, the redeemed from off this earth. Amen. And we're going to ascend to glory. And we're going to be with the Lord. And we're going to be with the Lord forever. Listen, you need to get under conviction because judgment's coming. The Lord's coming. And you need to be right in His sight. And the only way you can be ready And the only way you can be right before the Lord is to know the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, He has to be your Savior. He has to be your shield and your buckler and your high tower, as we were singing that song today. I thought of the times the Lord has been my shield.
Thank you, Lord.
Help me. I thought of times that He has protected us. Sometimes it's hard to just stand back and let the Lord be your shield. But I'm telling you, the Lord is our shield. He is our buckler. He's our high tower. He is our shepherd. And when danger is around, my Jesus stepped forward with His staff and His rod. And I'll tell you, He comes between me and that danger. He's done that in my life over and over and over again. What a blessing it is to know the Lord Jesus Christ. To know Him as not only your Savior, but as your shepherd. Praise God. Help me. There are times in my life where I get discouraged. You ever get discouraged? There are times to get down. Oh, but sometimes, but I'll tell you what you do. You do what Paul said in the 3rd chapter of Corinthians, where he said you just look into the face of Jesus and you'll move from one glory to another. It'll get brighter and brighter, amen. Listen, it's not about us. It's about Him who gave His life on that old cruel cross to ransom us from our sins. Yeah, it's about Him. And after He died there for the transgressions of mankind, He was laid in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. But on the 3rd day, He rose again. He came forth victorious, praise God. Listen, my Jesus is alive. He mingled with that little flock for about 40 days. He encouraged them. He got them back on course. They followed Him out to Bethany. And He started to rise and ascend. And they stood there gazing. I'll tell you, we don't need to be gazing. We need to be working for the Lord. But I tell you, He ascended to glory, and the angels, they started shouting. They started praising God. They started glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ. And they said, "Lift up, ye gates, O ye heavens, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors. And the King of glory is going to come in." And they said, "Who is this King of glory?" And it's the Lord Jesus, strong in battle. I tell you what, He was victorious for us there on the cross. "Lift up, ye gates, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory will come in." I tell you, Jesus is the King of glory. And He went into the heaven of heavens, the Holy of Holies, and He sat down at the right hand of the Father, and He's there today making intercessions for me. I call out His name and He hears me. Is that Tim? I need my help again. He intercedes for me. What a blessing. He's my brother, my elder brother. Yeah, He's my kinsman redeemer. He's my Lord and my Savior. What a blessing it is to know Him. See, we still teach and preach and practice here at Victory Church. You must know Jesus for yourself.
Amen.
You're doing right, Sister Carol. You tell those grandkids they need to know Jesus for themselves. And you can. And we do. Amen? You must have a personal encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ where you repent of your sins and you believe to the saving of your soul. And you know it for yourself.
Amen.
I'm glad I'm in the right way. I feel so sorry for people that are misled and deceived, and the various people that are wandering around in darkness. And many of them are good, honest people, it seems, and they seem to be very sincere, but they're in darkness. They're not in the light. They're still under condemnation. They don't know Jesus. They have a misunderstanding of His deity and His saving grace. Oh, listen, we need a revival to sweep this country. It's the only thing that's going to turn things around.
Oh, thank God that He knows me.
Yeah.
No longer in His trouble, but He's a missionary Baptist. I wasn't. But I heard the gospel when I was 13 years old. And I looked like me. I was deceived. I didn't deceive myself. I was deceived by a church. I heard the gospel. I knew I needed to be saved. I went to the altar. They read me a series of scripture and asked me if I believed them. They took me to that back room. I don't remember much about that other than I was baptized. I remember going home and telling Mom and Daddy. I knew that if I didn't go up, I'd go to hell. But you know, God is good.
Yes, He is.
He let me know that nothing had happened.
Yeah.
You know, just last week I told somebody, you know, I know who the President of the United States is. I know his face. If he walked in those doors, I would be able to say, that's Barack Obama. But, you know, if he saw me and somebody said, who is that? He couldn't say, that's Debbie Shoulders. Right. He's never been to my home. Right. He's never been introduced to me. But you know what? My God, the King of Kings, knows my name.
Yes, she does.
I met him.
Yeah.
I met him on my knees. It's the missionary yeah. Baptist church. I prayed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. He saved my soul. His spirit moved in and made his abode right here. And yeah. His spirit in my heart and in my soul is how I know that I'm his child, and most importantly, that he knows me.
Amen.
I
yeah.
Thank God that he saved my soul. You know, you may have never walked in these church doors before, but this is your lucky day.
Yes. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Somebody else want to testify today? We're going to have an altar call. And I'll tell you what we do here is we let people come and pray, but we do not bother them. We do not tell them that they're saved. We do not you don't need coaching if you're under conviction. You really don't. There's only one place to go, and that's to Jesus. And I think that we've done that today. We pointed you to the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. You must go directly to Him. And that's about all we can do. It's between you and the Lord at that point. The work of the Holy Spirit convicting you to the point to where you come to the end of yourself in genuine repentance. And where you get to the point to where you really trust the Lord with all of your heart. If you're holding on to one single thing, you've not trusted the Lord with all of your heart. You've got to give it all up. I mean, there has to be complete surrenderance. And as we sing a verse of some song, I want to encourage you, if you've never been saved by the grace of God, we would like to pray with you, we'll pray for you, but we cannot save you. We cannot save you. You have to go to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so as the congregation stands and sings, is there anybody here that would like to pray? We'll pray with you. Some of you have been coming here for quite a while, and you know what we believe. You've been subjected to the presence of the Holy Ghost. You've been subjected to the gospel truth for quite a while now. Listen, you can deceive us. You can deceive yourself, but you're not deceiving Jesus. Because the Bible says, on that day shall He gather all of the world before Him, and there's going to be a group there. He's going to divide the sheep from the goat, and there's going to be a group there that He's going to say unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye works of iniquity. And you know, those people, those folks that Jesus was talking about on that, in that particular passage of Scripture, they were religious people. They had prophesied in the name of Jesus. They had done many, many wonderful works in the name of Jesus. But Jesus had never saved them. There's a lot of people working for the Lord that don't even know the Lord, and the Lord doesn't know them. And on that day, not a few, it says, but many. He'll say to many on that day, depart from me, ye works of iniquity. I never knew you. I'm glad He called my name too, Debbie. Yeah. Are you? He knows me by name. What a blessing that is. What a blessing that is. And so as we sing a verse of some song, is there anybody here who would like to pray? We'll pray with you as we sing. Anybody here? You've never been saved by the grace of God. We'll pray with you. You'll have to call on the Lord for yourself. See, because when people come to unite with this church or be baptized, they must give an experience of grace. Amen. You know, if you say you've always been saved, we say, sorry, there's nobody like that. That's impossible. It doesn't happen. Everybody goes through conviction and salvation who becomes a member of the Lord's church. And so we require, we still require that a person gives an experience of grace before we take them into the waters of baptism. And so I'll ask Brother Kenny at this time to just share with us again.
It was Wednesday night, and Tuesday. Well, first I want to thank you for following what God puts on your heart to preach, because it was the first stepping stone last week. When you preach, it's not of works that gets you into heaven, but once you get saved, it's of work.
Yeah.
You work for the Lord. So I started thinking about that, and I tell you what, the devil, he didn't want me to hear that sermon. I was sitting back there, and I couldn't hardly even pay attention to it, because he knew, I guess he knows that when you're about to get saved, he does everything in his power to keep that from happening. So he was distracting my mind, and I was sitting there, and I was thinking, what's wrong with me? Why can't I listen to this man's sermon? But the next day I was at work, and I started to think about it, and I could feel the Holy Spirit was leading me.
Yeah.
And what you preached, you know, I felt like the Spirit was leading me to go over exactly what it took to get saved. And when I got to the part where you accept Jesus, it hit me like a ton of bricks that I didn't have that. But what I felt was so powerful in coming under that conviction 12 years ago, I didn't want to believe it. I didn't want to have to go through that again.
Yeah.
Because it's the worst time in my life. And so I pushed it away. I said, he's probably just putting a burden on me to help the lost. So on Wednesday, I come home, and again, that conviction come over me. But it wasn't like it was on Tuesday. This time, he put me down to where I went to my room, and I was bawling and crying. And I still didn't know what it was. I was saying, you know, what is this burden you have put on me? So I got down on my knees and I prayed. I said, Lord, you have all power in heaven and earth, and I know you could give me the answer. And again, he put it on my heart to go through those steps. And when I fully come to the full knowledge of what Christ had done for me, that he has truly come here, he lived. He was God. He was become flesh and blood. And he gave his life on the cross. And the Holy Spirit was leading me. You know what he showed me? He showed me that when I stand before God, that Jesus' blood was going to wash me whiter than snow.
Amen.
That because of Jesus was the only reason I was ever going to get into heaven, because of what he had sacrificed for me. And my sins put him up there on that cross. When I come to that full knowledge, I'd been crying the whole time, and I said, thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you've done. And that's when that change started to happen inside of me. And I thank Brother Charles for telling me what he's told, because then I could understand it, you know. That feeling started to happen, and it occurred inside of me. And I didn't know what was happening. And then all of a sudden, I just felt like I had won something great, you know, like I just won the greatest thing you could win in the whole world. And I just wanted to get up and start shouting and praising the name of the Lord.
Yeah.
Because he's the only one that made it possible.
Yeah.
But you know, I didn't, because my dad,
bless him, Lord,
he's lost. It's like living with the devil. So I kept it to myself. So y'all, I'd appreciate it if y'all pray for him.
Yeah, we will. We'll pray with you. You'll have to call on the Lord for yourself.